Welcome, everyone, to the X Factor Files podcast. I'm Daryl.
I'm Philip.
And we're here on a bright and sunny Sunday. We are in a spare bedroom. Asta is chewing the underside of this bed as we speak.
It's true. And it's a very creaky bed. It's from my great-grandparents.
Yes. So we're up here just to give her some socialization because Nick, Nora, and Asta all had their annual checkups this week.
And Clyde is in the living room, so Asta can't be down there.
Yep, so she is relegated to an upstairs spare bedroom, and wow, is she annoyed with us.
Yeah, she is.
She's so pissed that she is confined to this bedroom all weekend.
We may give her treats, and that's all. I gave her a little bit of pets this morning.
No.
When she's like, oh, there's someone. Oh, wait, I remember, I don't like you.
Yeah.
That was the vibe.
Yep, so
so that's where we're at. Four rabbits on three levels with two dads.
Yes.
One house.
They all came through with flying colors with their annual exams.
Yeah. Nora has something on her lip that we are supposed to keep an eye on, but...
like a skin tag. But it's like, how am I supposed to get her and then like look at her lower jaw without her biting me?
And we can't.
Yeah.
We don't have those skills.
So, but we will do everything we can to keep an eye on it.
Yes.
That was the only thing. They all are at a healthy weight.
We need to invest in some better clippers than what we have.
Yes.
Because we have like the itty bitty scissor ones or some bigger guillotine ones.
Yeah, and the vet is like, I don't like those because it applies pressure and they can feel that in their nail.
Yeah.
Like when you're trying to get it. And I think we experienced that.
Yeah.
Where they like try to yank it away and you're like, I'm trying to clip as fast as I can.
Right. But luckily, most of them have clear claws, so it's easier to see the quick.
Yes, and we learned that even though they look super long, they're actually not that long.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because you hear them like click, click, clack.
And you feel them.
Yes.
Like when they're reaching up for treats.
Yep.
Or when they land in your lap and kick your junk.
Yes. Always the sack. Like they push off on it and it hurts so much.
Yeah. It's like they know that this is the most sensitive spot.
Ugh. So we went to a local comic show. The Minnesota Comic Exchange had a semi-annual mall sale.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes away from your house.
Yeah. More vendors than we've seen before.
Yeah. And not too bad trying to dig through stuff. One of the vendors is always super popular because they bring really good stuff and they have good deals.
Yeah.
So that was the only one where we sort of had to wait to get into boxes. And you ran to the car and ran stuff out.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not holding on to this Knights of Pendragon set.
Yes.
And the pages you got from Gordon Purcell.
Yes, so Gordon was there. We've talked about Gordon before. He's been a guest before. See our Wonder Man annual episode.
Pages from that were up for sale.
Yeah, I got a really cool page that has Hitmaker on it.
Yeah.
Like a really good image of Hitmaker. And I previously had two pages. I have the front splash page from that issue and also a random one with Hitmaker. So I got that. I got a Star Trek Deep Space Nine page.
Odo's turning into a rabbit.
I had to. Like, there's a bun bun. And you don't run across that in original art pages really at all. So right. I'm like, okay. And I also got another Silver Sable page because he did so much work on Silver Sable. And the person in line in front of us also bought a Silver Sable page.
And you were like, damn it.
And he said that they were selling that day. So
yeah.
I'm really excited. And I talked with him. I'm like, well, this shows that people really like the series. And everyone we talk to that's read it loves it. Like Demanda loves Silver Sable. So I really hope that they collect it all. Like there are 35 issues in that series.
Oh.
That's a perfect omnibus length. Like
okay.
They could do one Silver Sable. And Gordon was really disappointed because before Sony dropped all the Spider stuff and they're like, we're done with the Spider-Verse. They were probably kicking around the idea to do something with Silver Sable.
No.
And now they won't.
No.
Which sucks because she is almost like a Black Widowish character.
Yeah.
But she runs her own girl boss empire, which is fun.
It's supporting the local economy of her home country.
Simcaria. Yes.
Yes.
I'm glad I found another page that has like a cliffhanger reveal on it where it's like father, because her father isn't around forever in the series. So Also picked up some stuff I had bought from a vendor in one of his online claim auctions a couple months ago, and he just hung on to it. So it's Green Lantern Flash Faster Friends Parts 1 and 2,
Oh.
where they have Alan Scott.
That's fun.
A Pizza Hut X-Men comic, number one in a 2-issue series. Now I have to find number two somehow.
It's like a quarter size of a regular comic book.
Yeah. Another copy of Alpha Flight number one that I think I paid a whole $3 for.
Nice.
Silver Surfer 45, which is a harder to find issue, and there's a local collector that buys issue 45 whenever he runs into it at every single fucking sale.
Oh, the Kyushu dude?
Yes.
Or the other one?
There's just a random guy who loves this issue and will buy it whenever
Oh.
he finds it, and it's so annoying. Whereas, like, this is one of the few I need from Silver Surfer Volume 1 that's actually reasonable, because I think 46, or the one of the issues surrounding this, is even more expensive when you
Oh.
find it. And then I found a $1 issue of Doc Savage.
I don't know her.
He's a pulp hero. There's a werewolf.
Oh.
It's one of those licensed things where Marvel probably doesn't have a license for it, so it'll never be reprinted. So I'm like, I'll pay a buck.
Oh.
Captain Canuck, the first issue. A Tomb of Darkness, because I do love cheap Marvel horror reprint comics when I find them. A whole stack of Amazing Heroes, which is an interview magazine, basically. So one covering John Byrne's Superman, The New Universe,
Oh.
Excalibur, Superman's 50th anniversary,
Oh, fun.
Grunwald's Captain America, and then an issue of David Anthony Kraft's Comics Interview, which is a super special all about the X-Men. So you can see how thick that is, with interviews with Claremont and R. Adams, Stan Lee, Walt Simonson, John Romita Jr., and a bunch of others. So
It's thick.
it is. And individual issues I found. I found a Star Trek signed by Peter David, and I w felt so dumb when I got home and I realized that Gordon Purcell is credited under this price sticker. And I was like, he was there.
I know, but at least you will see him most likely at another Minnesota
Yeah.
event.
Superman the Wedding Album, signed by Dan Jurgens and someone else. I don't know what that signature is.
But we've also seen Dan Jurgens before.
Yes. A double signed Warlock in the Infinity Watch by Terry Austin and Rick Leonardi,
Oh.
which is really cool. Gordon Purcell signed Mad Dog number one.
Oh.
You know, Patsy Walker's ex-husband, maybe, or is it a different Mad Dog? I don't know.
How many ex-husbands does she have? At least two
Well,
now?
or how many Mad Dogs were there in Marvel?
So many agitated canines.
And then a Marvel Age, which is all about the Muppets coming to Marvel.
Muppet babies.
Yes. And this was, they did an adaptation of Muppets Take Manhattan as
Oh.
well. And Marvel Premiere 26, which features Hercules.
He's all tied up.
Yes. And I think it was like $1 or $2.
Yeah.
It's one of those issues I will always pick up
Yeah.
because I love Hercules. And
And you helped me fill some holes in Defenders
we
and
found a bunch of dollar issues of Defenders in the low 30s for
yeah,
you.
some Captain Americas that filled little gaps. So that's all coming together.
Yeah.
I thought there were some other random things, so maybe it was mostly those titles, because between that and the Knights of Pendragon
Yes.
stuff, like that's more than I.
Thought you would find.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're like, I'm not getting anything,
I
which is
know.
fine. But then
I need to actually stick to
I
that.
was like, Knights of Pendragon, I have that omnibus. And you're like, instead of reading that omnibus, I'm going to buy these issues.
Oh, yeah. But I feel like Marvel UK, you've said, is harder to find and.
It is, and it's a totally insular world that they have.
Yeah.
There's no crossover. Like,
So
they'll
that's
have guest
nice.
stars from regular Marvel, but it doesn't go the other way.
Oh.
Like, Knights of Pendragon are not going into Excalibur.
Gotcha.
We have Star Trek issues to talk about today. Starfleet Academy issues 7 through 9.
Yeah, and does this lead us into Telepathy War? Or is there something else we have to read that
There are
leads up to it?
two issues after this before Telepathy War.
Oh, shocking.
Yes.
This
So
you'd think would set this up.
I know. So I have to read those issues to see if like we can do one, two, and then skip ahead to the issue after the crossover, or if it
Oh.
references Telepathy War too much or
Right.
something weird. So next Star Trek episode will be two or three issues,
Okay.
depending. But we have a lot of stuff going on, and you can see how the story is sort of building, even though they are bringing in gimmicks from other
Yeah.
series, especially the original series, in two of these three issues.
It's true. So, number seven opens up with Adam being emergency transported to sick bay.
This is our,
Betazoid.
yes, drug fiend.
Yes, the one who rode a motorcycle through Kamala's funeral.
And then landed on top of her corpse and said she's hot.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the one. So he is beamed in. There's a big rush. I don't know why these like weird rat tail ponytails were popular in the 90s.
don't know either. And by this time, we're in 1997. They're sort of out of fashion. That's an early 90s thing.
Yeah, but this nurse dude has one.
Yes.
So they're about to administer some drugs, and doctor's like, no, if he's taking something to tamp down his telepathic abilities,
Like that would kill
it'll be
him.
a fatal combination. We need to do this other thing. So they work on that. Nog is a sad boy in the brig. And it's weird. They talk about the case against him, and they're like, this all doesn't really make sense, but especially Nog confessing. Like, we can't get him out because his confession is
Yeah.
still standing. So,
Like he for real says he did this.
yeah, even though it was a dream. So, Commander Zund is there talking things through, like the security camera footage is there and doesn't look like it's been tampered with. There's a motive because of what happened at the warp theory lecture and Nog's confession. Fun fact, there's a little Constellation X class starship with the quad nacelles. Those are always cute. So they are keeping Adam in sick bay, even though things are looking much better, because telepaths waking up from comas can be rough. So there he is. We get a fun little Nog going through a psych exam with word association. So the word is door. What would you say?
I
First
mean,
thing that comes to mind.
oh, I don't know. Closed? That probably reveals something.
Yeah. Nog says lockpick. For death.
Camila.
Oh. Nog says inheritance.
Okay.
The word is joy.
Dish soap.
Wow. You're putting a lot of thought into this. It's supposed to be like your first instinct.
No.
And Nog says Dabo girls. And so his psyche eval comes back normal for Ferengi.
Yeah.
So then we cut to a fight scene that's happening with Omega Squad. And they're fighting some Chelnoth, so there's some fangs, there's some manes, very leonine-looking aliens who are getting their asses kicked. And we learn it's a hologram.
Of course it is.
The holodeck de-stressing for the team is a thing.
Well, it's not really for the team.
Well, the team is all here, and they're doing it to de-stress.
No, it's only Decker.
Hava's right there.
I think she was part of the thing.
No, that's her fist.
Oh, am I thinking of something else in one of these books?
Maybe.
Okay.
T'Priel is also there, just like calmly nerve pinching some
Oh,
Chelnoth.
okay.
Meanwhile, Hava's like double handed or double fisted punch.
Starter punch.
Yes, Star Trek trademarked. So we get this weird, slightly shady admiral talking to Commander
The
Zun.
one that took over for the admiral who resigned because of Red Squad.
Yes, and was doing fishy things of like, get me all these files on these people.
Yes.
So Zund is left sort of like with a bad taste in her mouth from this interaction. So she goes back to the lab with the black hole. And it's like, why is this happening? And by the stars, this is beginning to make sense to me. So she's on the case for something. Nog wakes up from a nightmare, and who's there but
And he's
Boothby?
like, groundskeeper, why are you here?
Groundskeeper, why do you have access to my psych eval files?
Legitimate question.
And Boothby's like, well, it doesn't matter what all these other things say. Do you think you're capable of doing this? So, is he going to deal with this, or is he going to fight it? And if he's not, then why bother waking up? We get an interlude, and now knowing going through this, these are some, I can recognize the aliens that are these shadowy figures out in space.
And they're like, oh, we need to fuck shit up. And the other one's like, you're right, we do.
What is our number? 1,000 strong and growing every day. How much time remains until we reach our destination? 4 days. So then they talk about getting rid of any of the loose ends, any of their allies and contracted people. So back in the brig, T'Priel and Matt and Pava are there to talk to Nog. And, they are trying to figure it out. Don't you see? Ashton can't read my thoughts, but what if somehow his subconscious is sending thoughts to me because his ears keep changing in the nightmare? And like Ferengi lobes are very static.
Yes.
Like they don't look like
They're rubber.
bun buns or
Yeah.
bats. Like they are not pointy and long and floppy.
Yes.
So Papa's like a shapeshifter. That would explain the recording catching you, air quotes, in the act. And of course, a telepath as powerful as Astron would be a changeling's first target. And it fits what Zund learned, that there was another attempt on Astron's life before this phasing. So when she was in the lab, when she's like, by the stars, she found out that the safeties have been messed with in the lab. So that was their, like, oh, there really is more to this. So they go in, and the nurse with a terrible ponytail conks out the security guard and is there to kill Astron. But Omega Squad is there to save the day. And we got this, like, props to the art for the golden shimmer and liquidiness of the changeling. But it creates, like, a little tidal wave trying to throttle the team and, like, doing something that Iceman has done, where he sort of like zoops around the beams being fired through him, which we haven't seen Iceman do in a while. That was in the scene of Grace, Iceman. That is so good.
Since Steve Orlando's mini, we really haven't seen Iceman do
Apparently,
much.
he's in Exceptional, the one with
Yes,
Katie and Emma.
he popped up a little.
Yeah.
He's not playing a big part yet. I hope that E-viewing uses him more.
That was after I had something in our lives happened. And so I wasn't reading the ones that you were collecting.
Oh.
It's like that uncanny.
I think it just got to be too much
No.
for you.
No, they weren't sitting out on the coffee table.
Oh, that's because I hadn't read them, so they're in a stack in a
Yes.
bag.
So
Now I'm
that
caught up, and now if you want me to retrieve them, they're in separate piles somewhere, mixed in with a bunch of comics I need to file in the
Oh.
basement.
That's the giant pile in my bedroom. So Astron wakes up and he's like, ha, I've had a lot on my mind, but I want to share it with your playmate, like the extreme agony of phaser trauma. And so somehow he just is, again, I don't never knew that Betazoids could do this. They're acting like the giver of like, here, some traumatic memories poured into your brain. So the changeling flees and runs away. And we get the team in pursuit, and they somehow lure the changeling into the holodeck, and then they create multiple copies of themselves in the programming. So that's sort of where the cover is, where there's three copies of each of the team members.
Yeah, surrounding.
Yeah, surrounding the changeling. And so the changeling turns the tables and starts blending in with whatever the environment is. So Omega Squad has the thought, oh, just keep like randomized settings, like
Every 5 seconds, different place. So they can be like, oh, it's a stalagmite in a desert.
Oh, it's a palm tree in a evergreen forest.
Yep.
So eventually they catch it in a stasis field, and
He
Ashton,
still has the ponytail in that stasis field.
he does.
Why?
I don't know. Ashton tries to read his mind, which again, Betazoid like code of conduct, rude. But the changeling pushes up against the containment field and basically fries himself.
Rather than be captured, he's like, I'm just going to.
Rather than reveal my plan, but Astron did get a little bit some thoughts out of him. And that's the issue.
Interesting issue.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting Omega Squad to go up against a changeling.
No.
But it makes sense for the timing, sort of like leading up to the Dominion War and in the middle of the Dominion War,
Yep.
where they are a ruthless enemy and will do whatever they can to get an advantage.
Yeah. I will say that using the name Omega Squad is really throwing me for a loop with writing Alpha Flight stuff because of Omega Flight,
Oh,
who are evil.
right.
So my brain is doing gymnastics.
Oh, do we just need to call them the squad?
And I don't know. So there are letters pages. It's the honor roll.
Yes.
And of course, people are asking for them to tell them, like, hey, is T'Priel a spy? And they're like, we're not going to tell you. Like,
But also,
we're
like,
not going to reveal this in a letters page.
also, no shit if she's having visions of Romulans in her head.
Yes. Someone does write in to say that they buy 5 copies of each ish Star Trek
Really?
issue. Yeah.
Wow. For resale.
I don't know. This was sort of the time where people still thought they could make $1 bazillion.
Oh, like Beanie Babies.
Yes. So,
Would not have thought that Star Trek comics would be like in the same grouping as Beanie Babies.
no. And they're remarkably easy to find, most of them. I'd order some of these online.
Oh, for the Marvel ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, the D we saw a bunch of DC ones in the boxes yesterday.
Yes. And
And I was like, oh, do you need this? And you're like, no.
I don't
Do you need
think
this? No.
I didn't want to go that tab.
Oh. But we did find some of Gordon's art for Lost Generations that looked interesting.
Yes, or
It's got
last generation.
some.
I think it's last generation. It's an alternate future. I looked it up
Oh.
to find like the trade paperback or the issues. It's IDW, so maybe our local comic store will have it.
Maybe. I mean, it's a good place to start.
Yeah.
And it had Captain Garrett in it. It
Yeah.
had Sulu and some of the TOS folks. So, yeah, might be worth a look.
Yeah. Starfleet Academy, number 8. We get it right off the top, the return of Charlie X. You haven't seen this TOS episode.
I mean, I must have long ago.
Okay.
And I think someone chose it for one of the watch-alongs during the pandemic. But some of those are starting to blend together.
Yeah.
I am glad that we restarted the watch-alongs. We do it with the animated series now.
Yes.
There are some comments of like folks finding the appropriate THC level to watch to
Yeah.
have. But yeah, it's fun. It's nice to like just chat with the our Star Trek gays in the
Yeah.
middle of the week more regularly than waiting until Star Trek trivia.
Yes, which is coming up the day that this episode is released. It's monthly Star Trek trivia.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
All about T'Pol and Michael Burnham.
And I already said in the group chat I'm not going to contribute anything worthwhile to those theme rounds.
Did you watch all of Enterprise?
No.
And you definitely haven't watched all of Discovery.
Nope.
So I haven't even finished Discovery Season 5.
Oof. All right, so the title of this issue is X2. Chris Cooper is still our writer. John Royal on pencils. Andy Lanning inks. Jim Novak on letters. And our colorist is Kevin Summers. We get a recap of the last issue
We got like this deranged splash page of
of the
like
nurse with the ponytail. I told
of
Scott Free that it's very his vibe.
oh
And Scott is like, I don't know what this means, but I can tell you he did no wrong.
oh I mean, he did try to murder someone.
Yeah.
But yeah, all these sort of like disjointed images all together.
Yes.
What does it mean?
And now they're on a little mission.
Yeah.
Little baby mission. They're in a runabout.
We find out that all those images are Edom. He is thinking about the images that he pulled from the shapeshifter's mind. There's an ensign commanding them, Ensign Lee, who is just doing her job, and he's just being a total dick to her. He's like, I don't have to pay attention. I can pull the thoughts out of your brain.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
And the rest of the squad is like, should we do something? They're like, nope, just let this play out.
Yeah, Ensign Lee will shut him down.
Yeah. All right. So it does turn out that way, but then he's going through some stuff and he's like, there's so much running around in my brain. To Priel, you're a Vulcan. Can you mind meld and like take some of this burden off?
Can you teach me the boundaries that are created in your mind that you, like logic helps control
Yes.
and process things more slowly and in a reasonable way? Like, I need that mind meld with me so I can learn it.
And after a momentary flash of fear that he senses, she's like, no, I'm not doing that, and walks away.
Yeah, she's in a very fishy and suspect way.
Yes. And then they run across this disabled, I don't think it's a freighter.
It's an Eldorado class. Eldorado is the name of the ship. It gives us the
It's some sort
class.
of cruiser.
It's a like a planetary exploration vessel
So they sense one person alive.
with very strong life readings.
Yes, so they beam over to find this person.
And there's no one there. Like
No.
no bodies, no corpses. All the life pods are there.
Yep. And they find this person and he's like, my name is Charlie Evans. We get an interlude with fishy people saying, hey, we killed everyone on this ship.
Yeah, all the loose ends are tied up.
Yep.
It's just us. Our plan is coming to fruition very soon.
Back on board the runabout, Charlie Evans is sitting there and the squad is questioning him. What happened to everyone? The life pod's not launched. And we see a little flash of power and he's like, are you sure? And they're like, oh, these readings say all the life pods were launched, but I don't remember that.
Right, that's contradictory to their initial scan.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a weird variance in the matter-antimatter containment field. Easy to correct.
Yes. So they compensate for it. And they're like, how about you just rest? And then we cross-reference Charlie's name with the database.
Yeah, Ensign Lee looks him up.
And she turns around and throws a phaser right in his face. And she's like, listen here, fuckstick. I know who you are and what you're doing.
Which, why would you do that?
Yeah.
That seems like a poor life choice.
He turns her into a silver statue,
Yeah,
which still
crystallized.
has life signs. She's just trapped within it,
Yep.
which Edem can sense.
Yeah, so he can still communicate with her. If he's
Then,
like, I'm stuck. I need to communicate what I've learned to someone.
yep.
Hey, Betazoid, read my thoughts.
So she downloads the information on Charlie into his mind, giving the backstory of Charlie X. So basically, he is the superpowered child who
He
has killed everything.
as a small child, had crash landed on a planet. Everyone else had died. The energy beings that lived on that planet took him in, and they like sort of imbued him with their power.
Yeah.
Like either he learned it from them or like in proximity, somehow he gained all these powers.
And then he was rescued by humans,
The USS Antares.
and that ship blew up.
Yep.
And he was found similar to how we found him in this issue. The original Enterprise beamed him aboard. He hid on Yeoman Rand for like the entirety of that
In
episode.
a kind of creepy way.
Yes, Kirk trained him.
Oh.
There's like a whole like wrestling montage that happens in that episode.
Oh.
And
And then an elder person from that race of energy aliens comes by and he's like, sorry, he's just rude and awful. We'll
we'll
take
take
him
him.
back.
Hi, we're the Thasians. We're taking this creature back. So then
We should remember that species for trivia.
Adam turns around and there's another phaser in Charlie's face. And then Charlie is like, oh no, you don't, destroys it with his mind. And
Yep.
then there's another breakdown in the containment field. So obviously, there's a connection between the use of these powers and the containment field.
Yep.
So they are then hoisted to an otherworldly landscape.
Yeah. And they find the crew of the El Dorado.
They're like, hey, you're alive. And the El Dorado's captain is like, yeah, Charlie sent us here.
Yep.
And we can't find a way out.
And now you're here with us.
It doesn't look like there's food there.
No. So it's been a hot minute. So they figure out a plan. They start to work together. Like, we have to distract him while he's here. And they're like, let's all throw rocks at him.
So they draw him in. He's very big. They throw, like, David and Goliath style, rocks at his head.
Yep.
Bouncing off his noggin.
He shrinks from all the, like, lack of concentration.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he eventually gets small enough that the team can wrangle him. And then what?
Tapriel senses that he's at war with himself.
That there's two entities.
And she's like, oh, that's sort of like me.
Oh.
And then we get the exposition that he and another version of him that's slightly out of phase are battling for, like, ultimate control.
Yeah, so his powers are out of phase with himself.
Yes.
That's why the containment fields are all affected. And in a burst of energy, he puts everyone back again.
Mm-hmm.
And may have died?
Maybe. I don't think he did.
Yeah, unclear, but he is no longer around.
And this is where Decker says, he didn't really mean to harm us. He was trying his best, and I don't know.
Was he?
That. Yeah, I don't think he was. Yeah. We don't need to see the bright side of Charlie X. He's an asshole kid.
Yeah.
We then go back to this Jem'Hadar ship. That's what those figures were we were seeing in the interludes.
It's true. You could tell from issue 7 with, like, their crest.
Mm. And they say, let the invasion of Talos 4 begin.
And they've murdered some other aliens. Yeah. I think those were their loose ends that they had to tie up.
Yeah. So we have another letters page. And the weird thing is that there are multiple letters across these three issues that keep asking for Klingons to be part of Starfleet Academy.
Really?
And editorial is like, I don't know how to make this clearer. The Federation is at war with the Klingons. They will not be appearing as cadets here.
Yeah. I'm just over Klingons.
Yes. And there are other requests. There's a weird request in one of these where the letter writer asks for Starfleet Academy to cross over with Jedi Knights or something like that.
Oh.
And editorial's like, that's not going to happen.
That's entirely different franchise.
Yeah. Please, no.
Yeah.
We're just saying a hard no.
So, issue 9, the cadets on Talos 4 with Pike and the Jem'Hadar, Nuff said in very 90s font.
Yes.
So
we get the gatefold cover for the first time. It's back, baby.
Yeah, with the little blurbs about all the folks,
which is so useful. It's just like the Krakoa pages.
And yeah, a little data page.
I wish they would bring something like this back, because the hell if I remember what's actually happening.
Do you know
month to month
who is also on that page? Boothby.
No.
Oh, why?
I mean,
so we get Spock. It is Ambassador Spock. He hears his name, but it's not the call in his ears that concerns him. It is the voices calling to his mind. And we find him on Romulus.
He's still there.
He's still working for reunification between the Vulcans and the Romulans. I don't know if they ever talk about the Mintakans. There's like a third offshoot species that we saw in that Next Generation episode.
Mm-hmm.
Plus 100% food generation in Birth of the Federation.
Yep.
So they're great. Love them. But these are Romulans.
Yes.
So he's like, I'm aware of your presence. Shouting is unnecessary. And this person's like, we are so concerned. There are Romulan spies in Starfleet. And Spock is like, no doubt there are dozens passing as Vulcans. They rarely last. They cannot maintain my people's logical discipline for long. Like, Spock is very unconcerned about the double agents that are floating around in Starfleet right now.
Yeah.
He's like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yep.
So Then we cut to a young Decker charging through a door. I think it's Japan because it's at his friend Yoshi's house. There's a bonsai tree in the background.
Yes.
And
What
that door
visual
style.
clues?
Yeah,
You're in Asia.
and the door style, I think, is one of those.
Yeah.
Last scene in Kill Bill. Like, and it's him beating up his past self for being so idealistic.
This is where he's in the holodeck by himself.
Yes,
Yes.
working through his own
And
trauma.
there's a safeguard in there.
Yeah. He throws his past self through the door. You thought you could be the guy who'd be a great leader. But then whose leadership bungled everything up, might have cost Charlie Evans his life. The guy who was eager to fight Klingons and let them kill his friend and teammate. What'll it take before you understand that this is the cold reality? And it's then a hologram of Kamala appears.
And she's like, "You programmed me in here to stop you when you get to be too hard on yourself."
And that mile marker has been met.
Yes.
So she disappears. He's like, no. And then the whole program ends. And it's just that he's a little disillusioned. So Nog is depressed. Pava's depressed. Decker's depressed. Adam can't figure out why no one is talking to him. And T'Pol is like, everyone is in a demoralized condition. And I get with the recent events. But I haven't been able to focus on my own problem. So, like, Edam is making it about him.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. But he's like, I can't be sure of what I saw, but I have this feeling of dread. It's as if the Dominion is planning something. And then on his way to taking a bite of food, he freezes, he drops his fork, he's not responding, and he runs to a shuttle bay and he grabs a runabout. They try to communicate with Commander Zund, who's like, no, just observe. Sort of like sometimes when we bring the buns to the vet and they're
Oh,
like, just observe.
yes.
And he's headed to a runabout. He puts an access code in, and then she's like, oh no, that's taking off. I can't reach them anymore. Maybe I let them observe too much. And the runabout speeds off and it's off to Talos 4. And
That carries a death sentence.
it does. It's the one, like, do not go here or you will be tried and murdered by
Yes.
the Federation. So the command code that Adam used was the access code for Captain Christopher Pike, status inactive. And they're like, why is this still a thing? This is 100 years old. And they're like, well, he was never recorded deceased, so
Yeah.
it's just sort of floating around
So they
there.
kept his codes active, just like those 150-year-olds that are currently getting Social Security.
Oh,
Yes.
yes. So Adam sort of explains a little bit more. It is a telepathic distress call from the Talosians. They need our help. And no one really knows why Talos is so forbidden. Must be important. But there's something more important than that, the lives of the Talosians. So they figure out, like, are we going to do this? Are we not? We have to do this volunteer only. And all of the crew volunteers, all of the squad. So, the seedy admiral is walking through. He's like, oh, Zun squad again. Once he gets the recap of what's happening, there's no one who can intercept them. And at current warp, they'll be there in 2 days. So, flash forward on the same page to 2 days later, and there are a bunch of corpses.
Dead Jem'Hadar, dead Talosians.
Yeah. Like, odd, just very odd.
Yes.
So very ominous when they say, like, what's waiting for us on the planet below?
So they get out and they're confronted by someone shouting down at them. It
And it's Hot Pike.
is.
And they're like, oh, you're not Spock. Spock is who we were trying to reach. Because there's a lot of like, as seen in the episode The Cage,
Yes.
as seen in the episode The Menagerie.
Which is the same. They use the same footage.
They do. They had to somehow use the footage from the failed
Pilot,
pilot.
yeah.
So Pike leads them underground. They're like, we are at war. The Jem'Hadar have been beaming down and just murdering everyone. So he gives some exposition about his own interactions.
Yeah, there's this under,
Ground
yep,
complex
where
that.
he's like, park here, they won't sense you.
Yeah. And Pike is like, yes, I'm still in my form in the chair. So it's unclear how he was climbing over the rocks unless that chair does like great things.
I think he just protects himself somehow. Maybe he learned powers from the Talosians
Maybe.
because he definitely doesn't have a rifle in that beep beep chair.
No. But like I said, accessibility has probably come a long way since then, or since now.
The Talosians built lots of ramps for
Yes.
him to get up on that cliff with a gun.
And maybe like little spider legs
Oh.
and a little rifle that can come shoot out of it.
Yes.
So he is there using his combat training. But also at the same time, there is an unknown malady that's been sending more and more Talosians into comas. We get a little interstitial bit of a battle between the Jem'Hadar and the Talosians. And the Talosians are struggling against the Jem'Hadar because the Jem'Hadar are driven by such primitive emotions. It's like the Talosians' telepathy is only 20% effective. So their typical like screening, making people see what the people want to see in a way that protects the Talosians isn't working. So it can work for a little bit, where they get the Jem'Hadar to turn on each other, but then it doesn't last long and the Talosians are still murdered. Like there's a bloody crunch as a Jem'Hadar like stomps on one. So they are going through, the Talosians are like slowing them down, but still losing. And the cadets are like, okay, what do we do? And they sort of start working together with the Talosians and their telepathy. As long as they don't act as a threat to the Jem'Hadar will just think that they're just another illusion.
So they think it's background noise, basically. We
Right.
don't have to deal with this. We ignore it because we know it's just a projection.
It's not a threat. Like, there shouldn't be cadets on this planet where they would be killed for going. And Pike is like, well, you've got your wits, ship, and weapons, and my experience, and one big advantage. Invaders don't know that you're really here. And they're like, or Pike is like, you're here to save lives, therefore you're Starfleet. So that's a nice moment. So then we get a couple shots of the team working to stun some Jem'Hadar. They tie them up with rope. Pava doing some really cool evasion tactics before she just to T'Priel phasers the Jem'Hadar. And
It's,
then they just tie them up.
yeah.
It's just
They're
unexpected.
going through all this effort.
Yeah. And Betazoid telepathy is a little bit different. Edom has no problem breaking through the primitive emotions of the Jem'Hadar. And he's like, holy crap, they're going to kill every last one. And T'Pol's like, oh, every last Talosian? And Edam is like, no. Talos is only the test run. The Vulcans, the Eulians, the Zosians, the Betazoids, the Dominion is planning the genocide of every telepathic race in the Federation. And that's the cliffhanger that we're left on.
How'd it make you feel going to Talos for?
I didn't care as much about the nostalgia. Like, I'm sure some people were like, it's Talos 4. But I do like that they remember that there's other telepathic species. I don't know who the Zelosians are. There's a lot of X's in that name. The species that Lorxana Troi works with is like the Lyrans, Lyricans. Some word that sounds like the song lyrics. And then the Eulians we've seen before.
Because that's with Riva?
Maybe some old dude. And they like bring up different memories for people.
Oh no, I'm thinking of Riva with his chorus that speaks for him. What
Oh,
is he?
I don't know.
He's a ginger with a beard.
Is he the Zosian,
I
maybe?
don't know.
So, yeah.
This is why I'm not good at Star Trek trivia. When they're like, what species is this person? I'm like, the fuck if I know?
And
A ginger.
the Eulians give
He's
like
Irish.
plus 20%. It was one of the intelligence ones, espionage, I think. Because they can walk through and pick up different memories from people.
So the letters page here. One, someone says that this is one of the best drawn books in the line.
Oh, it's so like it's quintessential 90s, I feel.
And
But the colors are amazing.
And the person goes on to say, right now it's the only one maintaining a monthly schedule.
Oh.
Folks, the Star Trek books are already in fucking trouble.
Oh.
And we're in 1997. So, like,
How long until it Marvel drops the license?
98, some
Oh.
point. Yeah, like, they don't have it for long. And just like we were talking about, I think in some of the Deep Space Nine letters, like, they kept falling further and further behind schedule with
Yeah.
everything. Like, the Star Trek, or I guess it's technically Paramount Comics, Marvel Presents Paramount Comics. Which I almost picked up a one shot that was Mission Impossible yesterday.
Oh.
That because I saw the logo, I'm like, is this a Star Trek? And I'm like, no, it's Mission Impossible?
And
That's weird.
Gordon was talking about his work with Warehouse 13 because he had some pages on that, and he's
Yeah.
like, the art was so far behind that, like, they had a regular artist and I was filling in
Yeah.
because they it was so much it couldn't keep up.
Yep.
It couldn't keep up with the schedule of it all. So, and I can see that, like, the level of detail that's required to give, like, the Vulcan ears, to give the weird effects of the telepathy or the changelings or just all the alien species, all the details that you expect there to be when you see an image of one of the Enterprises or of DS9 or the planets, even, like, with all the swirling clouds. Like, that's a lot of detail, it's a lot of inking, and these look so good, so they're taking the time to make it quality, but it's a lot of time.
The other letters, people are pissed about Camila
Yeah.
being murdered. Oh, they're mad.
I mean, we didn't
They're
exactly like that.
no. And they're like, you gave it 5 issues and you killed off a main character. And editorial is like, ah, well, sometimes people die.
Oh.
That's their explanation. So,
That seems to give her short shrift.
yeah.
I don't know. That.
So we're about halfway through this
Yeah.
series already.
Yeah, I like the. It's an interesting plot point of, like, and it fits with the changelings being so devious that they would target telepathic species. Once they realize that the Federation is like, hey, telepathic members, you are make sense for internal security, which is one of the games. Betazoids, if they are a part of your empire, give you plus 50% internal security.
So it's interesting. Things are going along. One thing we didn't mention, Decker is the leader of the team now.
Oh, that's true.
So he's been named the leader.
Which is another reason why
Straight white man leading a team.
in that hologram or holodeck program of his, I think that's also why he felt guilty. Like, now I'm the leader.
Yeah.
So, and I keep bungling it up.
Yeah. It's still interesting from the point of view that these are all, except for Nog, characters are contained within this book. So you can do anything with them and you know that things can happen, like killing off a character. That
Right.
can't happen to main characters in any other Star Trek book
And it
that's being
can't happen to
published.
Nog.
Right.
But no one, Zund never appears anywhere else. Like,
Yeah.
this dick of a Betazoid never shows up other
Thank
places.
God.
Right,
So
yeah.
it's a good take on Star Trek and it leaves open possibilities.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting as we keep going because I think there are 2 issues for Telepathy War.
Okay.
And then we'll read obviously the rest of the series. And then we have Voyager, and then we'll finally get to Telepathy War.
Oh.
Yeah, at that point it's like a year in coming.
Yeah, I've been talking about it.
Yeah.
So I just wish they would do more with Betazoids. So
Yeah.
in all of them, like, their rituals, like their the
Houses.
houses, the,
You
like,
have
social obligations that they have.
Star Trek. You have a built-in Game of Thrones scenario here
Well, they
where you could
would,
tell a drama about Beta Zed.
I mean, mirror Beta Z, sure, like, mirror Troy, cutthroat. But Betazoids, with their focus on openness and honesty, like, they wouldn't be duplicitous, but more like, these are your obligations. It's more like dealing with your teenage kids revolting and getting them on board with their societal expectations. But why not, like, in Strange New Worlds? Why can't that Pike learn, like, do we know that the system has been explored, We've seen Beta Zed on a map in Strange New Worlds. Pike dealing with a Luxana type character. What a treat that would be.
Yeah. Isn't it somewhere in here? Doesn't someone say, like,
what? He's a bit, yeah. Pike in these comics doesn't know Beta Zoids.
Yep.
So.
All right. Anything else?
No.
All right.
It's a day. It's fine.
I'm going to go rewire a lamp.
Yeah. It's been like months.
Yeah. Since Asta chewed through that cord.
Yeah, that was at Christmas when she got under the Christmas tree and like all those Christmas lights, RIP.
Yeah.
So.
All right, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. And we will catch you here next week for an Alpha Flight episode.
Be well.
Bye.